We'll call the chairman of the DDIC meeting to order.
I got an email on it. I never did check it out. Now they have some flyers.
Posting information for compliance?
Yes, it was sent to all the government and to the newspapers.
Approval of the agenda.
I'll move approval of Brandon.
I'll second it.
Motion by Judy, seconded by Dave to approve. The agenda is printed. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same. Motion carries. Approval of the minutes of the April 18th meeting.
So move.
Motion by Lester.
Second.
Second by Arnold to approve the minutes as printed. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same. Motion carries. Item five is new members. We have one new member, so we probably want to vote on the ones that are adoptions.
Yes, if you would, just maybe say where you're from and anything else you want to say.
I'm Arnold Rawson, and I'm from Button.
Dave Janney from Lancaster.
Shane Drinkwater, Potosi.
And IT.
And IT
department. IT department.
Just phone suit.
Bob Keeney, I'm from Mount Hope, and I'm the county board chair.
Hey, Luke Blackwell, I'm the county board supervisor.
Lester Johnson, Potosi, county board supervisor.
Greg Reed, EEOC director. Joyce Rowland, personnel director.
Courtney Brickart, I'm the administrative assistant for the EEOC.
Joanne Bloom, and I'm from Fenimore.
Excuse me, Bob. I have a question regarding the agenda. There's not a return to open session. I don't know how you want to handle that.
Can we amend it?
We can amend it by moving the closed session to the last thing and then leave.
That'll be fine.
Okay.
As long as Joyce has got the time to sit.
That'll be fine.
For hours.
I apologize.
And hours.
I said that. Well,
I
then
never
I'm
do
change.
That closed session, right?
Are you thinking it's going to be hours and hours?
Not
I
hours
said,
and hours.
I heard you said something about sampling.
Not hours.
And I'm
they
like,
can,
right,
they
you
can
guys
sample. Yeah, they can sample. I apologize. I never get the return.
Yeah, that is a good catch. If we go to closed session, we can do that.
Okay. Sorry about that. We're going to slate that next year, Courtney, because I think I did it last year, too. I'm not used to closed sessions. I never dealt with them, so. But I should be fighting.
We'll move that closed session to last up here, too.
So we still have two board vacancies, because Vicki did have to resign, and then we are trying to get clarification on one board member, or on one applicant, to see if ADOC would doesn't quite meet the criteria of the scope of services, so we're trying to see if they would allow them to be on the board. So.
I have a couple of names to share with you later. Maybe you can reach out to. So we'll move into election of officers. Nominations are now open for chair of the ADOC.
I'll nominate Dave.
Dave Janney has been nominated. Any other nominations?
You're okay with that, Dave, right?
I guess, yeah.
Okay, good.
If there are no other nominations, a motion that you are in order.
I'll make a motion that the nomination be closed and unanimous ballot be cast for Dave.
Second.
Motion by Arnold, seconded by Dale. Close nominations. Cast unanimous ballot for Dave Janney as chair of this committee. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Nominations are now open for vice chair.
I'll nominate Dale Hood.
Dale Hood has been nominated.
I'll make a motion that nomination be closed and a unanimous ballot be cast for Dale Hood.
Motion by Arnold.
Second.
Second by Dave to close nominations and cast a unanimous ballot for Dale Hood as vice chair of the committee. In favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Nominations are now open for secretary of
the. And just to be clear with the secretary, Courtney does take the minutes, and then we usually just have the secretary sign off on those minutes after the meeting, so you're not under a lot of pressure to to record all the minutes. So.
Huh?
Well, people never like the secretary position. They always get nervous about it, so.
Do we have a nomination for secretary?
I nominate Lester.
Mr. Jansen is for any other nominations?
I make a motion that nomination be closed and the unanimous ballot be cast for Lester Jensen.
Motion by Arnold. Do you have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Dave to close the nominations cast unanimous ballot for Lester Jansen, secretary. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. I will turn the meeting over to Mr. Jansen. We'll move to item seven.
The regional
members. Yeah, what about regional members?
Dale is appointed as a county board member to the regional board, right? You appointed Dale.
Right.
So typically we have had then one person representing disability, so we don't have that position filled yet, and then we also have one citizen member that also sits on the regional board. The regional board meets in Darlington on the fourth Thursday of the month at the bank in Darlington from like 9 to, it's usually 9 to about 11:30, Dale, or 9:30 to 11:30.
Yeah.
So is there any interest, or do you want to wait till we have the other members on board before we appoint that? I don't know if Joanne would be interested or Arnold. I know it's another meeting. You do get reimbursement for mileage and per diem. The per diem for that one, I think, is $45. I think county can make it up. Not everybody knows this. Yeah. Is there any interest, or do you want to wait till everybody else is seated before we seat those?
I'd probably be interested in it.
Be interested.
Yeah.
Is that elected or appointed?
No, I thought.
Pardon?
He asked if it was elected or appointed. I thought we elected from here for the citizen one. I think supervisor.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Citizen one get appointed or elected out of this group, but the chair.
I would say we need a motion to do it, and then we still need
the
appointment.
The other one, yeah.
Would someone like to make a motion to have Dave as our citizen?
Wait for nominee. Yeah. I'll nominate Dave.
So Dave Channey has been nominated as our citizen member to the region.
And Joanne, you are appointed, so you do have the power to vote, too.
Oh, okay.
So you're
aware.
Yep. You're already appointed. So Dale.
Any other interest?
You say we're too short? Yeah.
Right.
And Vicky's the only one missing today?
Right, because Joe moved.
Yeah.
So we need a.
Actually, there's three.
Well, because we went down the committee members, so we're down to seven. So now we're only short two.
Oh,
we would have been
okay.
Three, but
okay.
We went down.
Okay. I didn't know how to.
So we need someone to fill Joe's disability position and someone for
Vicky. And we have an applicant that was representing disabled, but like I said, It didn't meet the criteria in the ARC contract, so I forwarded it to Mary Mesmer, and she was going to look to see whether she was going to investigate, see whether we can do it or not. I don't know why they have to limit the disability and merit. It seems it's hard to get people representing disabilities anyway, so it's
the business you conduct isn't that specific to anything like that anyway,
it's
really.
Did we get a second on that nomination?
I'll second on the nomination. You just need a motion to close the cast.
Yeah.
I'll second.
Motion by Lester, second by Arnold to close nominations. Cast unanimous ballot for Dave Kennedy as our regional representative. All in favor of that, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No.
Can we move on?
All right.
Okay, 7. Public comments, communication, the only update.
Well, there's work going up. There's still study going up in our offices, so that's nice. We're moving forward. I think Shane has come in and very wisely looked at some of the plans and made some changes so that we have the appropriate IT equipment and things in there that we need, so that's we're happy about that. So I think you and I are probably going to try to do a walkthrough before too long, right? The steel study going up, so we make sure that all our ports and everything are in the right spots. So did you have more that you want to say? You know,
the building itself is pretty much right on target. The weather has been a challenge. Messed it out, but I don't think the excavator is moving in 2.5 weeks. So it's just starting to core out driveways and parking lots and stuff because they get a big, you know, 2 to 3 foot force of gravel underneath everything. That's been a challenge, but the building itself, like Roy says, the sheriff's department is pretty much studded. And as the brick gets up, they can put windows up. They're going to start drywalling that area. A lot of the electrical line has been run in those areas. Not lines, but conduits. And so
that would move along quickly once you get to that point.
Yeah. It's coming along. The jail pod has got a lot of work to be done in it yet, but we're not going to occupy that until like Lori said, Shane came along at the right time and looked at the electrical backups and power supplies and the internet services and stuff that gets worked about. So we're in good shape.
We're in standards.
When it gets to the point that it looks like it about does, that's when you find a lot of things that seem like it takes forever to do.
Yeah, you always think it's going to go faster than it does, but you know, we're not thinking we're going to be in there early, so we'll be
in there. Have you given any thought to, or do you think there'll be any problem with setting up your offices? Fred was saying the other day that they're going to have a mock-up in their thought they was going to bring the actual furniture down and set in a room to see how they did.
I mean, these guys, they're professionals. That's what they do. So I'm expecting if it doesn't fit, we'll be sending it back.
Well, that's kind of what I thought too.
But I mean, the offices, the configuration, they definitely, are different than our offices here. Most of our offices, with the exception of a couple, have a lot more space in them. So, it is a difference. So it's not going to be like you can set it up in a variety of ways. We pretty much have it so that when somebody walks in, the staff person's chair will be here in the desk here, and our consumers will be over here. And that is a safety issue that we don't have right now, because we want the staff person to have access to the door right away. It's not that we have safety issues a lot, but you only need one to have a problem, and we have had that happen. So that's how the offices are configured. And at this point, I'm not sure where we're standing with the furniture budget yet. I think that's going to be decided down the line. I don't know how much we want to say about that, Bob, but I mean, the other issue is and I'll probably be shot by the other department heads for saying that, but we do have, you know, we do have a carryover budget. So the furniture budget that we have left is about $35,000 is what we have, because we were able to order some out of ADRC monies last year. If our time reporting doesn't plummet because the state's making changes to our time reporting, we should have some. I budgeted about $6,000 in equipment in ADRC for this year in anticipation of needing some equipment for the new building. And if our time reporting stays consistent, I think we would have some more money in this budget also freed up that we can use. The state has, you know, halfway through the year decided to make changes to our time reporting. So in some counties are seeing that time reporting is our staff that work with Medicaid report their time every 15 minutes, and then we get reimbursement on that. So it increases our level of funding. But when they make changes to it, we don't quite know how that's going to play out. So it could decrease our level of funding given what they're doing. We're hoping not, but we don't really know yet. So I'll be watching that pretty closely too. But I mean, at some point we have to make a decision because we can't wait till December 1st to order the furniture either. So anyway, that's just where we're sitting with that. We'll probably talk more about that at a future meeting. So.
Anything else on the building update? Okay, dementia care specialist report?
Is that in here?
I
apologize. I will get that out. Pam, I printed that out and I printed it out. I'll come back to that at the end. Pam did give me a report that was kind of lengthy, so I wasn't going to. I wasn't going to print it all out, but I can summarize it. She is working with the Boscoville community on a dementia-friendly initiative in Grant County. That's her main focus here in Grant County. So she's met with Michelle Farrell from the Boscoville Pharmacy and Janine Richardson, who is a retired RN, and trained them in how to provide dementia-friendly training to businesses. So they're going to be contacting businesses in the Boscoville area to do some dementia-friendly training with those businesses. And then we are also looking at establishing a coalition meeting in July, towards the end of July, with various Boscoville leaders. Again, just to talk about what they want to see in the future if we want to do any major events around dementia. So that's the main thing in the Grant County area. So very happy about that, because we got that Boscoville initiative off when Whitney was here, our other dementia care specialist, and then literally after our first meeting, she left and moved to Montana, so it kind of stalled for a while until we got somebody here. So Boscoville is pretty, Michelle Farrell from the pharmacy is pretty gung-ho about it, and so that's kind of nice, so I think we'll see some good things coming out of there. So.
Is it training to identify people with dementia?
It is not. It's actually just training businesses how to communicate better with people with dementia, how to support them. So if they walk into your business and they're struggling, how to communicate in a way that won't frustrate them and frustrate you.
Okay.
So it's very good. I've had it a couple of times now, and just, you know, how to recognize that maybe somebody does have dementia, so it happens, you know. People are still out and about long before they have, you know, a lot. So banks, pharmacy, obviously, the grocery stores and stuff, those are the ones that we're trying to target. So hair salons, that sort of thing. So there's also going to be, I think Pam is trying, will host a Dementia Live event, which is a simulation. I think some of you guys may have, Dale, I think maybe you have done it, where you go through, it's an actual virtual reality thing where you go through and if you're like somebody who has dementia, they limit some of your senses and things like that, and it's pretty eye-opening, so I think they'll do some of that too.
Are there any other questions on that? Move on to number 9, advocacy reports. Can I get more attendees?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of screwed up. I never even thought about having to do that.
Well, when you saw the agenda, remember how much discussion there was on those bylaws?
Yeah, and that's about, that took up a good share of the meeting.
Yeah.
And that's coming back this month again, because we're thinking we may want to do a little changing on, what was that?
It was the quorum. They just talked about if they wanted to change the language of what constituted a quorum.
Yeah.
They didn't have a quorum in March.
Yeah, that's what it was. Then we talked on the budget.
For April. That was really the main thing, I think.
And then our state conference will be September 12th through the 14th at the Kalahari in the Dells.
And that's a combined aging and ADRC conference, so I'll bring more information here when we have that, because we do sometimes, if board members are interested in attending, we can send you.
We went through the monthly expenses. Managers give their reports. You bought it?
I do have, as far as advocacy goes, again, I printed out some of these. I did not print out all of them, because some of you want the information and some of you do not. So this one is on supportive decision making, which is going to affect us. There's new legislation passed, so people with dementia or say a child that has been receiving children's services coming out, rather than having a full established guardianship, can have a law now where they can have some supportive decision makers, so it's less restrictive than guardianship, and they can make some of their own decisions, but they may have somebody to be helping them with finances or with health care, things like that. So it's going to cause some things in here, because one of the issues that's going to come up is ADRC's always had a policy that health care providers, say somebody had a direct care worker that was working for them, or a IRIS consultant or somebody, they could not come in and be part of any enrollment counseling if that person was going to enroll. And that's going to change that, because that person can now be identified as a supportive decision maker. So there's going to be some policy changes at the state level, and the state's kind of working through that. So I just wanted to let you know that. The advocacy day, I'm afraid I had some medical issues and I wasn't able to go, but I will have a handout, so if you want a copy of these, let me know after the meeting. So some of the things that were discussed was they were requesting a joint assembly and Senate committee to be formed to study the issue of social isolation and create policy solutions to reduce isolation in the senior population. Isolation is shown to really contribute to a lot of health issues with elderly and things like that. And we know we have a lot of isolated seniors in Durant County. So one of the other issues they went through was reliable, accessible, and affordable transportation, because transportation always rises to the top, and it always does in Durant County too. And then we have to struggle to get people sometimes to ride it. The other one was healthy aging grants. Just again, looking at that preventative measure. The other one was family caregivers by creating a tax credit for family members spending personal resources to care for a loved one. Again, we're going to see a huge increase in that as the baby boomers are aging out. So I have all of those here. If you want a copy to look at that further and contact legislators, I will be happy to give you a copy. The other thing I'm going to pass around is GWAR, who is the Greater Wisconsin Area on Aging. They're the ones that oversee us. They did a legislative fact sheet on the nutrition program that I thought was really good. So I stole their concept and I did it for Grant County, because I would like to send this out to legislators. I'm going to pass it around. I'm sorry, we had a glitch yesterday and I couldn't, the copies didn't come out well, and somehow my document is missing a piece, so we don't know what happened. But one of the stunning things that I thought in this was that 25% of our home delivered participants and 27% of our senior dining participants said there would be days where they would not get enough to eat without our meals. So that's one in four. That's pretty stunning to think that they wouldn't have enough to eat. So 45% of home delivered said they would not have at least one hot, freshly prepared meal per day again with other meals. So I think that's, you know, so you can take a look at this. 98% said the meal program improves their quality of life. So I think it's just a good reason. When asked on most days, is the Meals on Wheels volunteer the only person you see? One in three said yes. That was it. So I think that's pretty powerful. So I'll pass that around. And I'm going to share that with Mark Klein, and Senator Mark Klein, and Representative Tran. I think we will do one similar to that on transportation and some of our other programs, so that will have those. So when legislators are interested, we've got kind of that to say, here's why you should support it. Not just that Cash Meals and Wheels are a good program, but it really shows the need. So. Okay.
Then it's OAA funding.
The OAA funding is part of that I asked for. That was on. Oh, and I'm sorry, it was part of the supported decision making. And the OAA funding, there were increases. We did get significant increases in the Older Americans Act funding.
Okay.
Hopefully they stay. I believe we got $59 million for the elderly nutrition program. So that's great. How we'll see those trickle down, I'm not sure yet. So. We'll know more about that as Ward gives us the budgets later on this year. So. But the good news is there's funding. They funded family caregiver, nutrition, those were the two main ones. And some healthy aging, that was in this bit, so.
Item number 10, aging plan, 2018-2021 draft.
Okay, I included the goals in your packet. The goals, at the time I did it, I was in a hurry, so they're not all the goals are written in SMART format. They will be when it's submitted. The aging plan, this is just the goals. If you would like to see the whole thing, I'll be happy to share it with you, but we have to go over the whole, what are the needs here in Grant County, all the demographics, all the statistics, and I'll be happy to share that with you. But really what it comes down to is, what are we going to do with the plan from 19 to 21. So that's what I included in here for you, because I didn't know that you wanted to sift through 8 pages of demographic information. But if you do, come to my office and I'll be happy to share it with you. So every year we have mandated goals already in all of these programs, but then the state decides that they want other goals. So, and they decide the categories. We don't come up with them. So, in nutrition, and I learned from department heads in other counties that you make goals out of some of the things that some of the innovative things you're already doing that you put down as a goal. So, I'm learning a little bit that way. So, in order to increase seniors' access to local fresh produce, we're going to do outreach at Farmers Market Voucher Program. It's something that we find pretty successful. We've never really listed it, but I think we should, because it's something that we do. So the other thing that we're going to be talking about later today is that frozen meals process. We're finding more seniors outside of our delivery routes that we can't provide meals to very easily. So we're looking at trying to come up with a way to get them frozen meals that are quality and safe. The other one would be, since you know we seem to have disasters in Grant County about every June, one of the things that Ruth and I have wanted to do, or we've talked about for a long time, is having a list so that, say, obviously it has to be a targeted disaster, say a Platteville or Cassville, is going through our list of people receiving those home-delivered meals and checking in on them, making sure they're okay, making sure they have the support that they need. Because oftentimes those people are living alone and don't have anybody, and mainly won't have somebody checking in on them. So Ruth has the ability to do that. So just making a simple phone call to see that, you know, they don't need any other assistance. In 2020, again, continue on with an evaluation of that frozen meal process to determine effectiveness, to see if we need to make any changes, look at customer satisfaction, continuing with the farmer's market program, and continuing with that disaster. You know, hopefully we don't have disaster every year, but, you know, we do have a lot of flooding, so. And then in 21, again, reviewing those dining sites, that's something we've been talking about, and I think we may even start this earlier. Again, to look at customer satisfaction, cost effectiveness. If we start, you know, right now we're getting increased funding, but we've got some sites that I don't think are probably the most cost effective. So looking at that. Again, doing the farmer's market and the disaster stuff. So, and then in caregiver, the family caregiver program, hosting that caregiver renewal day, that is something that we do, and it's been a goal in the past. Again, also looking at those declared disaster zones and contacting anybody through the family caregiver program that's receiving any support from us, just to check in with them again, because oftentimes those people have special needs, and we found that in Casco, and we found that in hospital. So. And then hosting, we want to do some lunch and learns. So I've talked to the Lancaster Chamber of Commerce about supporting some business owners, because again, business owners have employees that are caring for loved ones, and it causes them to have issues. So letting them know what resources might be available for their employees and how they can better support their employees so they keep their good employees and their employees aren't burned out because they're doing two different roles. In 2020, the workshop again, the disaster again, and again, doing a lunch and learn for Grant County staff is what we're hoping to do, opening that up to department heads and people within their departments. In 21, again, two of the same ones, and then looking at another Chamber of Commerce to do a lunch and learn on that. So, advocacy, again, providing some advocacy training to nutrition council members, providing that one-page summary that's going around on nutrition to share with legislators annually, and then providing an annual report to legislators annually as well. Again, we just want to make sure that we're developing a relationship with legislators, because obviously we need to do that, and they're the ones who it counts when we need them. So again, that's pretty much, in 2020, we want to provide some information on absentee ballots to our home delivered participants. Since they are homebound, we know that they can't get out much, so we want to make sure that they're aware of how to get that absentee ballot and make that work and provide them some support there. In 21, invite legislators to an ADRC board meeting, invite them to a nutrition council meeting, and then again, just providing the annual report. Healthy aging, we're looking at providing powerful tools for caregivers workshop in 19 and offering a stepping on class. Stepping on is a falls prevention class for seniors. We're hoping to get Nicole trained this year. Same in 20, same in 21. Falls prevention is a huge thing. It really is one of the main reasons why elderly people end up in the emergency room and in the hospital. So, dementia. We're going to host a booster brain program by offering a session in each of the four county areas. This is actually kind of PAM's goals for community members to improve the understanding of the variety of lifestyle factors that affect brain health. I need to go over that one. Clearly I have some brain health issues having tried to get through this today. expand the initiative of the Dementia Capable ADRC to county employees, again, by offering that training to people. And then in 21, encouraging early detection and intervention of dementia by hosting, again, an event with a memory screen option. We have done that in the past where we've done kind of a workshop, and then people that might have some concerns have been able to have a memory screen done right on think we need to do something different there.
Just on number 10, do we have to change that then to 2019 instead of 2019?
Yep, sorry, which one is it?
That's number 10 on our agenda, and it's got aging plan 2018, so it should be 2019.
Yes. Yes, thank you. So what the process is you. This is a draft right now. If you guys approve this, it needs to go to GWAR. GWAR's going to take a look at it. They change the process a little bit. Then they're going to send it back with any suggestions or other things that they want. And at that point, once we get it back, then we will have the public hearing to go through it with the office.
So we need a motion to approve this?
Yes.
We have a motion to approve the aging goals. Dale? Lester, second it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Dan?
I think that paper that's going around is a pretty powerful thing. And whenever you meet with, you mentioned like city councils or something, make sure you got that with you.
Absolutely. I can send one out to all the... And I was going to give one to the board supervisors. I thought I'd send one over back for that, too. It is pretty incredible. In fact, when I started looking at it definitely, I mean, I know it's a good program and I know we do good things, but when you actually look at the statistics of it, it's like, it's pretty frightening. And then I worry about all of them that we don't get to. So how many ones out in these really isolated areas that are not getting a meal right now, you know, so they're going without. So, yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to try to do them, like I said again, on the other ones as well. I just think that it's concise, it's quick, you can look at it quickly and take away a lot from it. So the state did a good job.
Still have much problem with the welfare statement of the operation?
You know, there probably is that with some. It's hard to know. There's always going to be some people that just aren't going to go to a 190 site. My parents were people, they didn't want to that. That just wasn't their thing. And there's always some people that will say that's for old people because they're not old yet.
Right, yeah.
You know, like a month ago, Ruth got a call and the lady was 90 years old and she wondered if she wasn't sure if she would qualify because she was only 90. So... you know, it's you know, some people don't really look at it from that and perspective, but some people do look at it, you know. So it just depends. We try to bill it as more of, you know, just being a social activity, and that you can contribute whatever you want. So, you know, it doesn't. You're not getting a free meal. You can make a contribution. So, I mean, with some people there always will be. That's either for old people or it's for people who need. My thing is I do want people that need it to access it. The people that are worried about a stigma or whatever are probably okay, you know. But if we've got people out there that literally aren't getting enough meals, then I want to make sure it's available to them. Because that's just heartbreaking to me to think somebody might be sick.
Number 11 on the agenda, approval of vouchers.
Anything on here for me that...
I don't think so. Everything else.
For Joanne, you'll see some large bills to UW-Platteville, Grant Regional, and those are food bills. UW-Platteville and Grant Regional are vendors for our meal sites, so those are usually pretty significant.
Right.
Bills that people usually take a look at. So I don't think we've been kind of holding off on, like I said, any equipment or any expenses just because we don't know how the time of party is going to play out. So.
Does anybody have any questions on the vouchers?
Yeah, I do, David. It's probably very easy to explain, but I don't remember doing it that way before. How come, like on their, say oil changes, for example, you have two different amounts, but the same account number, same vendor number, et cetera. Everything's the same except the dollar amount.
Very good question.
I was going to say, where are you at?
I got Les Mack is on the top of page 3. Which is an example.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's because we're dividing our nutrition between congregate and home delivered.
I was wondering maybe it wasn't something to that.
So
okay.
Based on where the van goes, it gets divided.
Oh, okay. How much is enough? Because
yep.
There's another one here that...
Yeah, we never split out before congregate and home
delivered,
but the state
remember.
Is actually wanting us to do that. So this is our first year of doing
there
that.
There we go. Bottom of page 1 for...
The fillback?
Fillback, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing. That's the Boscobel area, the north food van. So it gets split based off of Boscobel,
yeah.
Muscadet,
okay.
Blue Rivers,
different.
How much they have congregate
okay.
and home delivered.
Okay, I was wondering about that.
Yeah,
about.
We're really trying to make sure that things are accountable by the accounts that they actually show. And that is new to us, too, so we didn't think your finance report was long enough to look at, so we wanted to give you a couple more pages.
More.
Well, those are good questions to ask, though.
It is, it was absolutely. And of course, Dale's been on before, so it did look different to him, so appreciate that.
Any other questions?
God knows you know that I can miss things, so we've established that.
Does anybody else have any other questions in regards to that? If not, can I have a motion to approve the vouchers?
I'll make that motion.
Dale makes a motion to
approve.
Lester second it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nays? No. Number 12, financial reports. Chance to review those. Any questions on those? Anything you've got, Lori?
No. So you'll see, Dale, though, on the nutrition, we've got the congregate and the home delivered. Right now, we don't have a budget for home delivered because when we did the budget at the time, we weren't having to split it, but we have. So in this coming budget period, now we will have budget numbers in there. But it's kind of a learning curve for us to figure out our expenses in a little more detail. Mm-hmm. So that will be the new one. No, I don't think there's anything, again, everything looked to be on track even when I reviewed it.
Any question anybody else has in regards to the financial report? Hearing none. Motion to approve the financial report.
I so move.
Dale does. Arnold does. Used to Dale down here. Okay, Arnold made the motion. Have a second.
I'll second.
Okay, Lester seconds it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Hearing none.
And Joanne, we'll go through these so that you can.
Okay.
Because I know they're a little long.
Okay, yeah.
Number 13, approval of vehicle disposal 2007 taxi.
Right, that would be our old taxi that just got replaced. So I do have it listed in the DOT, but I wanted to run it by you that then we are going to scrap it probably. I don't think it's even worth trying to sell it at auction because at the very least the transmission is out and they got. At the very least, it would be about $1,500, and they think there's probably more issues with it. So by the time I run ads and get a couple hundred dollars out of it, I'm not sure that we're going to be any better off to scrap it.
Yeah.
So we will be looking probably at, and the next one, too, is the bus. I will need to get permission. I think we're going to get rid of the bus that doesn't have the lift. It is not being used. It's kind of rusting. We don't have a lift in it anyway. It's got about 158,000 miles on it, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it is a fair amount for a bus, I think. So I think we're going to look at that too, but I'll be bringing that forward as well. So I'm kind of gathering information on that one. So in the future, I think as we look, I'm not sure we're going to have that big access to vehicles, but I think if we do, we'll look at some smaller vehicles that don't require CDLs. because we just can't get CDL drivers. Well, you have CDL though, right? I'm just teasing you. But that has been an issue in the past, trying to get. I mean, you can go up and down the state, and every school district, everybody's begging for CDL drivers. So I think in the future we'll look. We're lucky we've got one right now, but it just, I think in the future we'll look for vehicles that are not. Well, the other issue is if we have a vehicle breakdown, we've got one bus that's non-CDL, and somebody, because usually it's a staff person then that has to go get them, so we've got one bus that can do that, but it's a problem. So if Kevin's got that bus and he breaks down, I'm in trouble. I got to find somebody with a CDL to grab one of our other buses.
So then you just jump these and get in touch with the...
We have to have permission from DOT because they were bought with federal funds. If they're bought with federal, then we have to get permission from DOT.
So you need a motion to approve that?
Yes.
So could I have a motion to approve the vehicle disposal 2007 taxi?
I'll make the motion to approve it.
Lester made the motion. A second?
Okay.
Dale seconds it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Hearing none? Pass. Okay. 14, reports. ADRC, County Director, Directors. Yeah,
you've got the written reports. We've been extremely, extremely busy. If you look at our program reports, you'll see we've been extremely busy. The contacts are quite high. Our contacts compared to the other offices in our region are significantly higher and usually are. But staff are handling it well, and so that's good. But yeah, there's been a lot going on. We've got people on vacation now, which makes it even a little busier. But you've got your program reports. One of the questions we had in looking at the program reports was, would you like to see, instead of having, because now we're going to mostly every other month, so the monthly reports, do you want two monthly reports, or would you like to see a year-to-date report? Or we can do both. What's your preference? We thought a year-to-date report might be helpful now that we're meeting every month. But we can do both. We can give you... I like to see year-to-date numbers because I kind of like to be able to go back and compare the last year. So. Any thoughts on that? Don't care?
Can it be written up so like a comparison?
We can show... We could even do that. Well, I don't know... We could probably do that better after we get through it. We'll have to play with that. If you don't care.
So what would it look like then?
Right now you have to get like two, you're going to have to probably at this point either get two monthly reports.
Right.
What we would do is we could probably give you the month that you're coming and then a year date report so that you would know what was included from that period of time. So, but if you prefer them just the monthly, so you know every month what's happening, that's fine too. I don't care.
Is there any preference from anyone? Okay.
How about we play around with it a little bit, and then we'll bring it to you and see if it's something that you that works better for you. We just want you to have the information in a fairly easy format. And again, if you look at that nutrition one, Joanne, you're gonna. Think, oh my gosh. But we'll explain that one gets a little complicated. I'll have Courtney and Mariah play around for a little bit and we'll see what we come up with and see if it's readable to you guys. I just want to make sure you.
Does that sound okay to everybody? Any feedback?
Yeah,
whatever? Give a look at and see what it looks like.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, the one thing I guess I would like you to just, the quantitative over the course of time, I think would be nice to see, so. Just to know what it is vertical.
Any questions on that? We don't have to approve this.
Nope.
Then the last thing on our agenda would be the closed session, correct? So, have a motion to go into closed session for the evaluation.
I so move.
Kyle makes a motion on it. Second?
Second.
Lester seconds it. All in favor?
Roll call.
Have to do a roll call?
Yeah.
Okay. Lester?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Dale?
Yes.
Yes for me. Dan? Do you need to vote too? Okay.
I make a motion we have a couple minute break before we
go. Okay.
Sounds good. And for me, he's going to throw some frozen meals in so that you can sample a few of them when we're done. So if you've got a few minutes to taste them, these are the mom's meals that we're considering. So if you got a few minutes afterwards, take a couple bites or you can take it home.